Yeah, rapture will come and rapture should come, but the word must be fulfilled.
So did you guys believe in that rapture was going to take place?
I don't believe that you must set a date.
Who is this uncircumcised Philistine?
Yeah.
That would talk about my God like this. In the end times, the word will be scarce. It's not because there won't be preachers.
Mm-mm.
There will be preachers, but there will be motivation-based.
Your people will be deceived.
Is there any spirit behind what you're saying? I've been through the most.
Hola, Sen Fam! Welcome to another episode of I've Been Through the Most podcast right here on Saint Twins TV with myself, Millicent, and my twin sister, Innocent. If you're watching us on YouTube, welcome. You can also listen to us on Spotify and Apple Podcast. You can also comment down below to be a part of this episode. We are also available on our different social media platforms. We post our reels, our pictures, and all of it is exclusively posted just for you. So please go ahead and follow us there. We also have a WhatsApp channel, Millicent.
Yes.
So please make sure that you go give us a follow, a huge thumbs up to this episode. And if you are not a subscriber yet here on YouTube, what are you waiting for? We are on a road to 500K subscribers. We are well on our way. I want to thank you all, Sen Fam, for subscribing and for supporting what we call a ministry and what we know that God has predestined us for. So please, if you have not yet joined the family, click the subscribe button right now. And let us get into our episode today. A special one, I tell you. A unique one that my sister is not ready for, but I think
you... Are you ready for it?
Me?
Yeah.
I was born for this.
Okay, let's do this.
So... we introduce to you our husband, Mr. Mashile and Mr. Sadiki. Welcome to I've Been Through the Most.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I believe you guys have been through the most. So you are sitting on the hot seat today. I don't even know why you're laughing. Yes, this is the hot seat. So firstly, why are you here today? Let's start there.
We're supposed to take over Saint TV.
Saint Twins.
We're supposed
to take over. I've Been Through the Most, bro. Come on.
Is it? Yeah. No, the entire production.
I've Been Through the Most is on Saint Twins TV.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I get that, but okay, fine.
Keep we're taking the entire thing.
Oh, even the guys? The team?
Yes.
Great.
We inherit everyone.
Stand by camera too.
Because you guys were apparently being raptured. On the
yeah, team. Not here. Third. So it's the two of us. So this is about me and you, my guy.
24th. To which... yeah, I remember my wife came back.
Yeah.
And she was on this being raptured. But I said, which I really wonder why it didn't happen. I said, leave me with the Saint Twins cards. Just give me the cards and I will start now.
So how long was the conversation?
A very brief.
Was it brief?
Mm.
Is it? They took me out for dinner.
Is it?
Yeah.
To say goodbye.
It was like a rapture dinner.
I didn't get to have a rapture dinner. Maybe that's why it didn't happen. Apparently, it's still happening.
I know. Come on, okay. Guys. Let's be realistic on this thing.
We have been realistic.
Let's be realistic.
So, okay.
Is it postponed?
No. Let's not talk about that.
Okay.
Let's talk about your thought, right?
Okay. Okay.
And
that's fair.
I actually don't even want to, like, make this about the rapture, right? Talk about the end times. But people don't know who they are. So maybe they need to introduce themselves.
As a matter of introduction, my name is Pastor P.
Oh, yeah.
I'm married to Stoko. This is Mr. Mashile. He's married to Stokwana.
I'm married to Mrs. Mashile, Millie Mash.
Millie Mash, the millionaire.
Yeah,
Arvejalet.
The millionaire.
Arvejalet.
Oh, yeah.
So I think ideally they've been through the most one because they're married to us.
Yes.
Oh,
but
gosh.
However, they are not Lord. Here to share that because if they had to
start
share
there.
That...
No.
That would be a lot.
Yeah, it would be a lot.
So it's that's episode. A different episode altogether because I'm sure they've got a lot to say with being married to identical twins.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, you are here to speak about the end times. There's been a conversation going on and, you know, some of the conversations have literally been more of a personal attack to us, and people have questioned what we believe in,
and
you
what
know,
you stand for,
and what we stand for, because uh-huh. our guests do come on the show and they do share what they have been through. That's the name of the podcast, and that's never going to change. Their vision is clear for the podcast. We have great respect for each and every person that sits on the hot seat, and their views expressed are not that of the Saint Twins.
You're saying something very critical. And my experience is that, first thing, shout out to you guys. You made it to the international news, which is what this platform is all about and what it should be about.
Mm-hmm.
It's about giving people a platform to say whatever that is in their hearts and that which they can back up with evidence and all that. And for me, looking at it, I said, the channel has done what it's supposed to do. But shout out to you guys for, you held it down. The unfortunate part is when the rapture distorts the word. Because there is the word and the rapture is in the word. But when is it happening? How is it happening? First, what calendar are we using? Because to start with, the calendar count, it's messed up, and the calendar that we're using and the calendar that was used, two different things. Secondly, when you look at the sequence, and people should start with Matthew 24, when you look at the sequence, it's there is before the end time, there is during the end time, and there is the end time. You don't just fly to the end time, and the end time, that's where rapture is. Rapture is a layer in the end time. Then the during the end time, then there's tribulations.
Mm-hmm. Pre-tribulation.
And then there's Antichrist ruling.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's judgment in there. And then before end time, there is apostasy, which is just a simple word that says people will come with different views and called revelations, false prophets. There will be persecution. So let's not confuse tribulation and persecution. Persecution is a man designed. They persecute you because you believe in Christ. Whereas tribulation, it has to do with natural disasters, diseases, persecution included in there. And there's just that sequencing that we don't just fly. And when somebody said the end time is here or rapture is here, I said, yeah, rapture will come and rapture should come, but the word must be fulfilled. And the question is, what is it that is still needs to be fulfilled? Let it not be a sermon. Mr. Sadiq.
Wow.
We are here.
We just started and you just,
I'm already.
You went in the deep end. We gotta make our way to the deep end. But thank you very much for having us. Yeah. What a risk. You know,
they live on the edge.
What a risk.
All the pastors that get an invite from us, they're like, so am I going to trend or am I not going to trend? We thank God for the growth of the platform, which then spreads to the world. Yeah. Let's look at it that way.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. True. I think you said a mouthful. And if I have to go to the deep end as well, my take would be a little different from how everybody has been looking at end times.
Mm.
I think we are so invested in end times. We're so invested in, you know, we're coming to the end of the world. The world has come to an end. We're so invested in the word rapture, which is not even in the Bible, you know, which is on itself a Latin word meaning to snatch. But anyway, my belief is, instead of focusing on end times, let's focus on being ready for Christ.
Amen.
Let's focus on righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we invest so much on the coming back of Christ and forget that I can die as I get out of here. You know, I can jump on my bike and get into an accident and die. So let's rather invest in making sure that we are righteous. Let's rather make sure that, you know, we are following what God has called us to do. You know, if God has called and said, let this platform work and make sure that people know about me and spread the good news, then let it be. Let's focus this time, living the lives the way God wants us to live. Otherwise, we're going to end up creating a lot of fear-mongering, you know, where people are now so scared, you know, like, hey, we're going to be flying up, people are going to die, people are going to... No.
I was prepared to jump, just so that I can be taken by that force as well.
You know, so I mean, if we look at the weeks, you know, before the said date, I was getting so many calls from Christians, funny enough, none from our church, but a lot of people were calling, hey, but Jesus is coming back. The end times are here. Must I sell my business? Hey. You know, I remember the end of the day, you know, I ended up saying to people, if you believe it, give me your car.
Yes.
Give me your money, if you believe it. Mm. But now what I can say to you is live a righteous life.
Amen.
And if Jesus comes back tomorrow, great. If he comes back next year, better. Mm. If he comes back in 10 years after Joshua is here, even better. Do you get what I'm saying?
So, Joshua.
Let's relax.
Please give context because we have a guest, but with Joshua. So you're the Joshua that you...
Oh, no. I'm referring to...
Explain the Joshua that you are talking about.
To Joshua Sadiki, our son, you know.
you're in the plantation, my brother.
Yeah, Munawazi Patuchezo.
Yeah,
Joseph.
So you are praying for a Joshua.
We're believing in Joshua.
Are you believing in Joshua?
Who's believing? Joshua?
We are believing in Joshua. You might not be believing yet, but your heart shall believe in due season of going through the most.
Okay, Mr. Mashiri. So, continue.
Yeah, and I like what Sadiq is saying. Sorry, Pastor P. Sadiq. That means Pastor P. I like what Sadiq is saying, that we now wrapped with this bubble.
Mm.
Of rapture, and we have forgotten our responsibility, and some of the things that we should be acing it. When you look at the current Christians, we know a lot about the scriptures, mm. more than the likes of Daniel knew, more than the likes of Joshua knew, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But with what we know New Testament, we know Old Testament. They only knew a portion of the Old Testament, but the difference is that they held on to what they knew.
Yeah,
they stuck through what they knew, mm-hmm. and there were excuses there, like there are excuses today, mm-hmm. but they never focused on those excuses. They never even sought to validate those excuses.
Yeah,
I'll give you another typical example. It's David. David, he's going around being a shepherd, and then now he goes to check his brothers, whatever he was there for. And then he sees Goliath.
Mm.
Literally, Goliath was swearing, saying manner of things about God. And he says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine?
Yeah.
That would talk about my God like this. And typically in the current generation, we'll say, God, show me what I must do.
Mm.
But he knew something already. He knew something that, you know what, based on what I know, I don't need a revelation.
Mm.
Based on what I already know, this man can't talk about my God like this.
Yeah.
And he said, look, I hear there are prizes. Let's talk about these prizes because this is a done deal. I'm going to deal with this man. What are you guys saying? The person that deals with this man gets, but what provoked him was the manner in which Goliath was speaking about his God. And today, anybody can say anything about God.
Yeah.
And we say, no, it's his opinion. But when they speak about church names, I don't want to mention big church names. Hey, you will be dealt with accordingly. Mm. Mm. When you speak about a pastor, you'll be dealt with accordingly. But when you speak about God, we accept and we say, no, it's your opinion.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
How is it an opinion when they speak? David stood and said, no, it's not an opinion. Goliath cannot talk about my God like this.
Yeah.
And maybe we should also throw Eli in there. Eli,
finds out that his sons are sleeping with the girls in the temple. They are taking the better portions of the sacrifices, and they're having fun. And he goes and he talks to them on the side. He says, no, don't do this. You know, guys, how can you do this? Da, da, da. And God comes to Eli. He says, I'm taking this garment away from your family. Because you knew, you saw it, and you decided to be decent in how you went about addressing it. You didn't show the aggression that a prophet must show, like Prophet Elijah, Prophet Elisha. They didn't stand up for things that they would show that this was wrong. They really address it. And you even look at Paul. Unfortunately, today, people say, no, a pastor was preaching about me. I'm like, hey, look at the Old Testament. Paul wrote about people. So what do you mean the pastor is preaching about you? Who must he preach about? Animals. We're going to preach about people that they must get their act in order. If you look at Christ, he spoke about people. Today, the pastor sees what I'm doing, and then he goes to the pulpit. Where must he go? Yes, he will address you, and he will set the record straight that this is unacceptable. And today we're defending churches. We're defending concepts that belongs to churches. And we have abandoned God. And that perhaps falls in the a portion that leads to the end times.
So God's name is not protected.
God's name is not protected. And when you look at these guys, they are very powerful. God has given me Gauteng. People eat grass in Gauteng. You take the back seat. And then you go to your church and you want to talk about it. No, you're supposed to be standing up. God gave you Gauteng. God gave you Tshwane. If you profess that God gave you this territory, then when something wrong happens in there,
stand up
and address it. People should be saying, no, I'm not going to tolerate this. I am not going to stand up for this, and I am going to stand. I don't care what they say about me. People care about their names.
Yes.
People care about, am I going to trend if I come? Am I going to, what's going to happen to me? We don't care about that. We care about the word. Is the word in the right place?
Yeah.
Is the things in order?
And thank you for mentioning that. You know, just to put it out there, Senfam, we actually did put an invitation out to whom we consider as the fathers, you know, of the soil of Africa, the fathers who are influential in this time, in this season, you know, in the word, who preach the word of God, word-based churches, people we consider as fathers. The invitation was put out because a lot of people would be
to
like,
some.
Invite
Let's not
to
put
some. Yeah. Not all, yeah. Sorry, yeah. To all. Let me not generalize. And the few that we did send out the invitation to, some have responded and will potentially come. So we're going to keep the door open. And some have not responded, you know. But what I'm saying is that we are a Christian platform. We are born again, washed by the blood of them. We don't even have to say it. Mm. The Bible says you'll know them by their fruit. Mm. However your eyes see the fruits, it's okay. But Tina, this is who we are.
David, asking about who's this uncircumcised Philistine. And I think we have to enter a time where Christians are bold. I think today's Christians are not radical enough. And most of the troubles and problems that we get into is because of lack of understanding scripture, lack of the Holy Spirit in our lives. You know, I've got this saying that I love saying at church, where I'm like, if you come here, ask the Holy Spirit, are you here? If you are not here, leave. Do you understand? So we listen to things and we never sit down and say, Holy Spirit, what are you saying about this? Is this true?
Yeah.
Is this misguided? Do you get what I'm saying? We are not radical enough, or we don't read the Bible enough. No. You understand? Which is why it's very easy for us to go and be thrown into the ocean, simply because we don't know the word, one. We are not radical, two. We don't want to ask the Holy Spirit, where are you in this case? Where are you in this situation? Until we start doing that, we will be misled. We just become like sheep that just get tossed left, right, and center. And we never end up going anywhere. You know, so that's why the world then starts overtaking us as Christians. That's why as Christians now we take the backseat. Why? Because we are not radical enough. We don't know the word.
And you're mentioning two critical things in there, Sadiq. One is that the responsibility of your spiritual growth, you cannot give it to a pastor.
Amen. Mm.
It is your personal responsibility that you make sure that you grow in a manner that you need to grow. You make sure that you read the scriptures. You don't hear of scriptures. You don't target prosperity scriptures. You genuinely seek God for who he is, because it is the contents of what you know about who he is, that which will affirm who you need to be. Let me, the second part that you touched, and I'm going to mix the two. The second part that you touched is the Holy Spirit. The apostles, they know how to preach. The apostles were preaching alone. Jesus even sent them and he said, go preach. And then he took the different direction. And then he met the Samaritan woman, whom a lot of people have theories around. He was proposing love, whatever. It's good. But now, when Jesus is about to depart, he says, stop everything. Stop. Don't preach. So preach. The apostles, they were stopped. Jesus says, do not preach. You have experience. You have the anointing. You know the scriptures. You know what to do. But do not preach. Wait for the Holy Spirit. So it is not about what they knew. It is not about their experience. It's about the fact that Jesus told them to wait. Which now he shows them that my role, my assignment is achieved. Because I went to the cross. Remember, that session happened after the cross. My session, my assignment is completed. However, now I need to hand over. Because there's order in heaven, the Holy Spirit is the next person I'm handing over to. You can't do as you wish. You can't do as you so think. You need to wait for the Holy Spirit. And he says when he comes, he takes away the first burden. He will pray for you in groans that cannot be uttered by human utterances. He knows the heaven. He understands your heart. He can make the two match. There is no better prayer that you can pray that that which the Holy Spirit cannot pray for. Now, why are we praying? If the Holy Spirit is praying for us with groans that cannot be uttered by human utterances, and he understands the future and the past, and he understands our maker, why are we praying? It is so that now we can travail with him. So that whatever we face naturally, we can be courageous enough. It goes back to now being radical. For the kingdom is coming, and the violent, the radical, shall take it by force. Not the soft, not those that care about their names. I don't want to say this unless I'm perceived this way. Look at Paul. He says, oh, you foolish Galatians, who writes to a nation like that? Unless he's radical. He says, oh, you foolish Galatians, who bewitched you? Those are insults in the current age. Write to any church. Open with that phrase. And let's see if you will survive. And we read it today. And then we see the sincerity of what he was raising. But we forget that he was conflicted between pleasing men and standing up for the kingdom. And he chose to stand up for the kingdom. Today, men are powerful. Powerful. On the pulpit. You will be powerful on the pulpit. Because that's not where the tests are. On the pulpit, there's no test. You can come with powerful scriptures and people can envy you in that suit. I'm not talking about you, Sadiq. In that suit, the beautiful suit that I want. People will envy you. But that's not where the tests are.
Yeah.
The tests are when you get off that pulpit.
Yeah. Mm.
Most men sleep with girls. Most women gossip. And they are led astray. They do things. And they say, no, don't talk about it. You're judgmental.
Hey.
Ah, so be it. Yeah. For the kingdom, so be it. Mm. If I'm not going to stand up for the kingdom, then who must I stand up for? And today, everybody, and the reason why we are led astray, which is what Jesus has prophesied, is because we are after these things. After prosperity, every second sermon is about prosperity. None is about principle. How do I raise young men and women that are leaning on God? And we lead in these families. We have kids. And we are more worried about money, blessings. Whenever somebody doesn't talk about blessing, we stay away. But the most important part is principle. It is principle. We say, no, we select Job was the richest man. Jesus was rich. If I'm not rich and God wishes it like that, so be it. Mm. Where do you want me to stand, God? Do you want me to stand here? I will stand here. There are no blessings here. It's okay. It's where God put me. And I want to emphasize this part because people think when you're standing on that pulpit, you're not questioned about your sermon, and then you can come with a monologue, a 1 hour monologue, uninterrupted, and then therefore you're powerful.
Sure.
No. Sure. No, you. If you were to be questioned of how of the things that you say, somebody can come with a chair and say, come with a sermon. I've seen another pastor preaching about a chair. And I was like, this is not a sermon. This is not a sermon.
My God.
This is just a thought. It's a motivation. And when they say in the end times, in the end times, the word will be scarce. It's not because there won't be preachers.
Mm-mm.
There will be preachers, but there will be motivation based.
Yo.
They will leave the principles of God. That's why when I'm doing something wrong, people will still declare blessings upon my life. But the God that I know, he doesn't bless before repentance. And I'll show you with the prodigal son. Mm. The prodigal son, God gives that example very carefully.
Mom Ruth.
He says, I feel like you should. I should go.
No,
you
okay. No, 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 no. I should go
and preach.
Let's finish about the prodigal son. Okay.
The prodigal son.
You and my husband.
Wow.
But please, as you are preaching, give my husband a chance.
He's my brother.
No, he's
we discuss these things on a daily basis. So the prodigal son, he says, I need to repent and go back to my father's house, where even servants are well taken care of. He didn't say, my father will come to where I am to bless me.
Mm-mm. I'll go too.
I will go too.
Mm.
So he had to go back to the father. And today, when you're doing wrong, you want God to come and be mixed with your shenanigans. No, it doesn't work that way. We're declaring blessings. No. It's not blessings. It's your work ethic. And God has never closed that door. You'll work and you'll succeed here. And then there'll be starvation. And then you'll work there and you'll succeed. That's not blessing. Blessing is throughout. Blessings is when you wake up, when you sleep. In the middle of the night, they take this comes up. Because it's God that he's putting it there. You lose this, you get this. In fact, you don't even lose. You lose because somebody needs it, and then you give it to them, and then you go and get yours. And when in between, you're not even pressured by the things and the status and all. Not. But Sadiq, you understand the things. Men of God. Oh, yes.
For you, Pastor P, let's talk to the church. Let's talk to the church about the end times. You know, it's clear that the Bible tells us to always be prepared and be ready. You know, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, right? And all these other things shall be given unto you. So the waiting on God and seeking his kingdom first, what it looks like for a Christian who is out there and who loves Jesus with all of their heart and their mind, what can you say to them?
I think I answered it in the first one. you know. We need to go back to understanding what righteousness is all about. I think we praise or we deal with people based on sin that we see and not sin that we don't see. Do you understand? Hence, it's very easy to sit down and say, well, now, hey, this one's... Hey, whilst the very same people who look like sweet konyan are the chief in the sinning world. Do you understand? We need to give our hearts to Christ. We are at that time where we need to give our hearts to Christ wholeheartedly.
Amen.
Do you understand? The time is near. But also in that, we need to be careful what we listen to. We need to be careful who we listen to. It's not everybody that you listen to.
Amen.
It's not every content that you listen to. Even for me as a pastor, you must ask yourself, as he's talking like that, is there any spirit behind what he's saying? Because sometimes we preach out of anger. And not from God. Do you understand? Sometimes we're preaching a narrative that best suits where we want to be. Because now we don't have. So it's important that the righteousness is not just on church members. It's on us as pastors as well. It's on us at the pastor's family as well. It's on the entire congregation to sit down and say, let us seek ye first the kingdom of God. Let us seek him first. That way, once we start seeking him, we shall not live in fear.
Amen.
Because Christianity is not about fear. It says, I've given you a sound mind. Do you understand? So in other words, you're not supposed to be living in fear. You're supposed to live a righteous life, knowing that I'm waiting for Christ. When Christ comes back, siyahamba sonke. It's done. I think we don't even have to complicate that simple thing. Choose Christ. You know, I envy men, you know, who go out there and say, we are doing crusades just to bring people back to Christ. We're going out to the field just to tell people about Jesus. And I think this is the season where we're supposed to go out there and be what? Fishers of men. Our problem is we're living in a season where we don't listen to Christ. You know, I'm reminded as I'm talking about fishers of men, when the disciples had gone and they were fishing the whole night and they didn't catch anything. And Jesus says, cast your nets. And they're like, but we've been fishing the whole night. We've been fishing day and night. There is nothing. But because you say so, when are we going to start living our lives with because you say so? Do you understand? If we start understanding that part, it's not everybody who will talk and you listen to them. I still stand as a pastor and I've got people who come to me trying to sell me things that I'm like, you know, Mara, God is not even in this thing, you know. And I've learned this thing, you know, where when somebody talks, I literally zone out and I say, Spirit of God, should I continue to listen to this or not? You know, and if the answer just comes, no, I promise you, I'm done. There's no follow-up meeting. Don't want to see you anymore because I cannot be a fool of a man. Do you understand? Most of us are led by, I wanted to say that word, by fools. Do you understand? Simply because we don't want to read the Bible.
Yeah.
I have a question for you. You're speaking about fishes of men, right? And that speaks to, obviously, evangelizing. But I think our core responsibility as Christians, as children of God, is that we need to preach the message of salvation. Where did the plot kind of get messed up? You know, like, where did we miss the plot when now preaching about everything else but salvation? Because for me, salvation is so intricate and so powerful in that when you want someone to be raptured, when you want someone to die and go to heaven, when you want to, you know, to be in judgment day and you are like, Father, receiving, I made it reward. Exactly, receiving your reward. The first and most important thing to do is to make sure this person has salvation.
Soul winning, like our youth pastor would say.
Yeah, Pastor Phil. So soul now, winning. That message is like, every message is preached first,
salvation is preached last. Mm. What happened to evangelizing? Or is it so nice in these mega churches with your aircon and your comfortable chairs that nobody wants to go and evangelize? And even if you do, I don't have a problem with mega churches. Even if you are in those mega churches, are you preaching salvation?
Okay. So I think I'll talk about our church, for example. You know, we don't only preach salvation. I think right now we literally sat down with the department saying, it's time where we need to start sending people. We need to start going out there to go and evangelize. Mm-hmm. Do you understand? Because much as we have to evangelize, we also have to preach about the realities of life. We also have to speak about that person who's suffering. We also have to give hope to that person who feels hopeless. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. It's just that most of the time we then focus on a different message and forget about the core message, which is to evangelize and bring people to Christ, which is the core message to tell these people who are in the church, who are serving in the church, and yet again have fallen. You know, so somehow there has to be a balance, and we have to start going back to the drawing board to make sure that the next time somebody says, you know, Christ is coming back tomorrow, our people don't even have any fear. They're like, whether he comes back tomorrow or not, see sharp.
Yeah.
Because we are living a righteous life.
Maybe just to add something there, Sadiq, the challenge is that we have empowered churches with the kingdom responsibility. As long as you're born again, you have a responsibility to evangelize. There's something that we did, and we did it once off, back then, where we packaged food.
Oh, yeah, that was amazing.
Yes, and then we went out there. We didn't go as a church.
Yeah.
We just decided we're going to do this thing, and we did it.
I still have footage of that.
You still have a footage of that.
Yeah.
And it's those actions that are needed. But however, where did we go wrong? Leading to the end times. You can't pray it out. You can't stop it. There's things that scripturally must be fulfilled. No matter you point them out and you say this, they must be fulfilled. You can't even pray that this thing mustn't happen. It will happen. There will be suffering. There will be natural disasters. There will be rumors of war. And those that want to understand this rapture and how it feeds, leading to the rapture, go read Matthew 24, the entire 24. Then no one will deceive you. You will see it in Matthew 24. Then if you want to understand during rapture, just go and read Revelation chapter 6. All the way to chapter 16. It's few scriptures there. If you want to understand rapture, Matthew 24 from verse 29, go with it all to 30, until 30. And there you will make up your mind as to what is this rapture and how will it happen. And then when people come, you'll even hear that if you want to know what type of preachers will come up now, we are not competing with them. Go read 2 Timothy chapter 3 from verse 1 or verse 2, more especially, going all the way up. It will show you what kind of sermons will be preached. Mm. And even if you speak about these things, you can't stop it. Because it's prophesied. Do not say when you are tested that it is God that is testing our faith.
Mm.
It is because of your own evil desires, so Paul says. Because you have envied these things, you want this posh life, you want these glamorous things. And when they say it's happening this side, you go. When they say it's happening that side, you go. But what is it that the Holy Spirit is saying to you? You don't care. You only care when you're in trouble. Mm-hmm. You start looking for this God when you're in trouble. But it shouldn't be like that. It should be that every day. You see how I'd like to give this example. Women, they never, most women, also men, but mostly women, they never leave the house without looking at themselves in a mirror. They never. And it's a good thing. Because they want to make sure that they agree with what is happening in their face. Same way, a Christian should never leave the house without looking at their heart in the mirror.
Mm.
You should never sleep without having looked at your heart. What type of heart did I portray today? Hey. Did I do the right things?
Yeah.
Before people confront you, you need to say, did I offend anyone? And you begin to call them. Hey, my brother, I'm thinking you may have misunderstood me here. Were you offended? No, my brother, don't worry, I was not offended. Before somebody confronts you, you've already confronted yourself. Yes. And you've began to act according to the word. So you need to look at yourself consistently in the mirror. Look at your heart. What type of heart do I have? What type of a heart do I display out there? Today we're battling with pastors that are not speaking to other pastors. Because they have reasons. And those reasons, make no mistake, they are valid. But the scripture didn't cater for the reasons, unfortunately. The scripture said, you need to do what I tell you. You need to forgive. How many times? 77. Then you realize already it's endlessly. You need to forgive. This is not your kingdom. Do not come here with an attitude thinking this is your kingdom. This is God's kingdom.
Amen.
And you need to do it God's way. Not the way I think. Yes. Not in your church, you'll do things the way you want because anyway, it's your church. But if it's God's church, we have a say as well. Oh, no, but you don't come to our church. It's God's church, isn't it?
Yes.
You know, I have a say. Because this is, I'm in God's business. And if it's God's church, it is my business. If you do something wrong, I'm going to confront you and say, no, you're not supposed to do things that way.
Okay, lastly,
in closing,
our husbands, I want us to talk about deception, right, before we close, because I feel like deception is a big part of the end times.
Yeah.
People will be deceived. Whether it's from messages, it's from pastors, it's from random people, it's from platforms, it's from social media, it's from literally everything and everywhere. I now see even films for children like that already have deception in it.
Books.
Let's talk about deception and how people need to be aware, to be ready, to discern.
And prayerful.
Mm-hmm.
I think I spoke about it.
What should people look out for?
You know, you understand that we're living at a time where the enemy is working full force. Where the enemy is all out.
Mm.
You know, the thing is about us Christians is at night we sleep. Whilst the other department doesn't sleep. They are working tirelessly to make sure. And now they're starting to understand that you want to destroy them, destroy from the seed. That's why cartoons have changed. That's why the books have changed. That's why the information that you feed them. Because remember, these kids, their brains are a sponge. So you feed them the wrong information. They grow up believing it, you know. So we need to play a stronger role as parents. We need to understand that the enemy wants to make sure that there's no peace at home, that this generation ends now. Do you understand? Therefore, in the next 10, 20 years, if we don't change things now, in 20 years' time, the church will cease to exist. Do you understand? We won't be having Christians anymore because the books will be telling you what God. You'll be having leaders standing up saying, you are a mad man, you are a mad woman if you say you heard God speaking. You know, and it becomes, it starts becoming fashionable. And that is what's being preached now.
Did you see there's I think in works, a bill to say that people are not allowed to say God said. Because of obviously how people have used that line to deceive, yes. But also, you can't completely rule out the fact that God speaks.
Yes. And he still speaks today.
Today.
There's one thing that I like about God. When he appoints King Saul, when he wants to anoint him, they said God gave him a new heart. Above a lot of things, God gave him a new heart. The heart is the start of many things. it is in your heart that you collude into, I'm not going to forgive this one. It's in your heart. Your heart is, it's where everything is brewed from. People see your actions and what's not, but it is your heart. So if we make sure that we confront our hearts with scriptures and we build those necessary walls and we are awake in terms of praying without ceasing, for temptations will come. But who, Christ says, who is he who built his house not with a deeper foundation? Foundation is laying on soil, on sand. And when the storm comes, for the storm will come. Deception is that storm. It will come. But what are your walls like? How is the type of foundation that you have laid? Because you're looking for God because you want healing. You're looking for God because you want blessings. But you're not looking for God based on who is your creator. Let's go back to the beginning. Let's make men in our own image.
Yeah.
To do what? To resemble us.
Eish.
To be like us. Not these men that are rushing to go to heaven. What are we going to do to heaven? Let's maximize the time that we have here. Mm-hmm. Forget, the rapture will come and it's God. It's like God gives you your portion. You are worried about God's portion. He says your portion is to resemble me on earth. Mm-hmm. Is to do like I would on earth. Hey. But when you're worried about heaven, what are you going to do there? There is his kingdom. And even there, he says, after Christ has come, after the resurrection and judgment, there will be eternal what? Life. Then we're coming back again, new earth.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't belong there. We belong here. This is new earth. And then, Msindo, we are Quebec. Hey, this is Zulu Sami, man.
We understand you.
But then it will then mean that we now coming back and then now we're doing things orderly the way it should be done. But before then, even now, we should be standing up for the word. For the word, nothing
and the
else.
hearts. I even remember that song, created me a clean heart, like
yes,
created me. I think it's from that scripture.
Mm.
A pure heart, don't judge me.
This
and purify me.
That's okay.
Then it continues. You know, the Bible says, as we are closing in the book of Matthew 28, I think it's from verse 19. It says, go ye unto the nations and preaching the word of God, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And that is our mandate. That is our assignment. Mm. To go all over the world, every corner of the world, and preaching this beautiful and pure gospel, unfiltered gospel of Jesus Christ to everyone. And that is what we aim to do even on this platform. We hope that you are blessed by this episode. We hope that you are blessed by our amazing husbands. Amen. There's an S there.
Because don't you guys think they look alike? People think you guys look alike. You know that, right?
I'm going to walk out.
You're going to walk out. Why?
He's my teen.
Shut up.
With a belly.
Shut up.
And but please, because he's a pastor.
And please, this thing here, the white shirt, was not planned. I actually wanted to wear a black shirt.
Winning
and winning. I had a jacket, and his wife decided that I don't deserve to wear my jacket.
Yeah, it's hot, dude. You were going to be sweating now, and people will think you've got palpitations.
So we love you guys so much. I think it's such a blessing not to...
Why do you say you love us so much and you're looking at him?
You never looked at me this entire episode. You were looking at him.
Yeah.
When you were talking.
Yeah. But you love what is lovable.
Eye contact.
You also love what is lovable.
I was just saying that we're so blessed to have two husbands.
This
where
guy.
In the world is the nerve?
Oh, gosh, the nerve.
Two wives.
The nerve.
Two husbands
the
and
nerve.
Five
Hold on
children.
A second. Can we, before
five
we finish it, can
children.
We
be ourselves right now?
Can we deal with this?
No. Like, because we're done with it.
Because seriously, no. We've tried to be very formal the entire time.
Yes.
We've tried to really...
Yeah. Like,
really
act like we like each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I mean, like, now we are
okay,
you
fine.
Guys love
so
each other.
Can we be ourselves?
Yes.
You know, guys are like,
so what happened? Were you guys not going? You're not going. You postponed.
Let's turn it around and don't edit this out.
Yeah.
Please.
You guys.
I'm taking the footage when I leave, just in case you cut this out. So let me ask. So did you guys believe in that rapture was going to take place?
But what's happening, guys?
Me and you had this conversation at home.
Hey, we are having it now. Yeah. We're having it now. Don't tell us about your house. We're here. Yeah,
we're not talking about what happens.
Yeah. I mean, a lot happens
this
there.
This is what I believed.
Yeah.
In a twinkling of an eye.
Suddenly.
Babe, don't laugh.
Okay.
Like a thief in the night.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. Naz.
We will be caught up.
Yay.
Yes, that is the rapture.
Yes, and meet him. Not Jesus coming here. We will be caught up.
Meet in the sky.
To meet him in the sky.
And some of us will be jumping.
Babe, stop it. That is my thought of the rapture, and it has not changed.
Yes.
No.
You have to let me finish, guys.
Okay, great.
Ne?
Don't answer like your husband. Please keep your answers brief.
Okay. And what I believe.
I'll trade you an Ukulum. Trade you airtime.
Maria.
Okay, sharp.
Thank you.
So I believe that the rapture message. Babe,
I think we want to understand.
Guys, interview skills. You have to listen also. So I still believe, I haven't changed what I believe, that it is important to preach the rapture message. You can preach the rapture message, and I believe that it will happen, right? But I don't believe that you must set a date.
You have not answered the question.
She has answered the question. Hasn't. You are choosing not to understand.
The question is, I believe.
This that
is not
you I must believe. Preach the rapture message because
the question
you
is,
guys who are pastors are not preaching the rapture message. The reason why it's trending and the reason why
now
people don't know. No.
And the show
and
is
the
begun
reason
now.
Why people didn't even know about what rapture is because you were not preaching about it. People were shocked. Good, what is rapture?
Great.
You understand? I don't mind the message of rapture. People need to know that one day, which is not far off because we are already living in the end times, those signs that you're talking about of false prophets are here. The rumors of war are here. Natural disasters are here. All those things are happening
already. Those claiming to be Christ?
Yes. I think that's the one that I haven't experienced, people claiming to be Christ. But false prophets, yes, right? So already the winds of the end times are blowing. Now the question is, should we be focusing just on the subject of rapture? No. But should people be educated on the fact that when Jesus comes back, he's not coming back on earth. He will come back on the second coming of Christ because there's the rapture, then there's the second coming of Christ. We will be caught up, go to heaven. Then when the earth gets destroyed after your tribulation and after the end time that you've spoken about, there's going to be a new earth. That is my thought.
So I think you still didn't answer the question. So
I did.
Let's take it to your sister and see if she'll answer.
I did.
Because you went around and spoke a lot, but without answering the question. So I'll ask your sister, did you believe your twin sister?
Your wife.
My wife.
Your lovely wife.
My lovely wife.
Your beautiful
my
wife.
My beautiful.
Your one and yellow only
bone,
wife.
Chicken licking Nando's.
Chicken banana.
Okay. The night
one
is far away.
The one I chose.
He's up. He's
the one I chose. The one I chose.
You were never confused.
Never.
No, he wouldn't have chosen this one because I had prayed and put a hedge of fire around her. There was no way. Malanga biwem lilo around. Chose what was available, not what was the
what?
Taken
out. He came first.
No, they were both available.
No,
they were both available.
There was a hedge of fire. You didn't have it.
When you had to settle for what was available.
No,
I didn't have to settle.
They
were both. There were two people who were available.
You had to
choose.
You had no
I had an
choice
option.
I was already taken.
When
I had
there are two cups and one is written poncho and the other one is not written,
You can't say you chose simply because the two cups are on the table. The other one is already.
Can they enter you, please?
You won't survive with
her. I survived with her for a couple of years before you came in the picture.
Before I customized there.
Yes.
Yeah, now you understand. You can't.
I survived.
Now you can't.
Kill it up.
No, you can't.
Yeah, Mara, now I think it might be tough. No. Then it was easy.
Come to your easy wife, baby.
Let me go. So, here's a question.
Yes, my husband.
Did you believe in the fact that rapture was taking place in September?
When in September?
23rd and 24th.
No, let the one asking the question.
But we are asking the questions, me and him. So on the 23rd and the 24th.
Rephrase your question.
Did you believe that there would be rapture or Christ was coming and people were going up on the 23rd or the 24th?
And
the 24th. Yeah. Did you believe Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday was going to be the dark?
Which year?
I know, forget it.
I feel like I'm talking to a politician.
Which year?
Nah.
2020. No, you have to be specific. 2025.
But obviously we are in the current year.
2025, which calendar?
Oh, God.
I was getting to that.
Oh, gosh.
I see again.
And I was going to ask, which prophetic timeline are you referring to?
Oh, Lord, ooh. No.
So my answer is one, Matthew 24. No one knows the hour. Mm. No one knows the day. Mm. Nor the angels, nor the sun. Mm. So who am I? I'm just the child of God. I don't know the time. Okay. I never have. I never came on any platform, spoke anywhere, ran with any date to anyone.
Did you believe?
I told you what I believe.
Did you believe that?
Guys, these questions that you're doing, are not necessary because they're going to take away from the beautiful episode we had. Why are you guys trying to be dramatic?
We wanted.
No, I told you what I believe. You answer scripture. After the calendar and your scripture is still, answer is done. Don't explain it. Why don't you explain it? You're going to mess it up. Bafuni will throw off. Bafuni podcast date is not going to happen. Nope. Not happening. All right, okay. we have come to the end.
So basically, we're a family. Mm. Four parents.
Yeah.
With five kids.
Five mm-hmm. kids.
One on the way.
Mm. Excuse me?
Believing in God.
Excuse me? Which
plus one?
Plus what?
Joshua. He says five plus one on the way.
Yeah.
Where's that person coming from?
No,
are they currently in a taxi coming from somewhere?
No.
To finish your point, please.
So, how is parenting with husbands like this?
Are you asking us a question?
Yeah.
You guys are amazing fathers. Amazing. Out of all the qualities, fatherhood and parenthood is number one. It's on top of it. It's on top. And I don't know how you do it, but you do it so well. You love all the children equally. Yeah. And I mean, you men, these two men that are sitting right here, let me say this, are fathering two households of kids that are biologically siblings.
And we are identical twins.
So our kids are biological siblings. So them being the fathers of their own homes, they are fathering all the kids in a way that is incomparable. I mean, you take the crown, and God must reward both of you for that. Thank you for being amazing fathers.
That department, hold on to that department. Other departments, we'll talk about it on another episode.
Exactly. So let's leave it on a high. Let's not mess it up.
On a high.
From myself, innocent.
Actually, no. We're going to close it. So thank you very much for joining in this amazing episode.
Yeah.
From myself, Pindu.
And myself, Mr. Mesh.
Don't forget to like,
subscribe, comment down below.
And share the episode in all the platforms that we have on YouTube, Spotify, TikTok,
Insta.
All of them.
Yeah.
Yes. Enjoy. God bless you. Have a great weekend. It's bye for now.
Don't forget to pray.
Pray for yourselves. Your grandmother.
Worry about yourself.
Worry about yourselves.
As I worry about yourself, Brother now.
Joshua.
Oh, yeah.
Believing in Joshua. Joshua. Coming.
In 2026, baby. I've been through the most. Been through.